Welcome to the Lubar Executive Education Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about how business leaders should be thinking about using AI to benefit their organization. With me today is Adam Danileko. Adam is a dedicated advocate for the startup community with a background steeped in fostering growth and innovation. Adam is the product owner for startups at the Alberta Machine Intelligence Institute and has held roles ranging from HR business partner at Alberta Energy to policy analyst for economic development and trade in Canada. His unique blend of experience in government, community building, and startup support, combined with his genuine passion for nurturing growth, make him a valuable addition to discussions on helping business leaders in all types of organizations optimize their processes and enhance customer experience. Welcome, Adam. It's wonderful to have you here on the show.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You're welcome. To get us started, can you talk about how you got involved with AI and ultimately helping leaders figure out how to best use it to grow their businesses?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So like you mentioned in a little bio there, I don't really have a background in AI. My background's actually in human resources. So that's kind of where I started my career, working for the government of Alberta here in HR. And then throughout my career, I transitioned more from HR into student engagement, from student engagement into the startup community here in Edmonton. So I was actually at an organization called Startup Edmonton for about 3 years before coming to the Alberta Machine Intelligence Institute. And then when I came over to AMI, I was really brought over to build out our startup programming, to see what kind of programming and services should we have for startups, what was the gap in the market, not only locally here in Edmonton, in our province of Alberta, but across Canada, and how can we build programming specifically for startups. So my background more comes from the startup side than the AI side, but I've been here for 3 years now, and so I've been able to learn quite a bit over the past 3 years about AI, and in particular, how startups and startup founders should be thinking about it.
Sounds great. I can only imagine all that you've learned in the last few years and all that's coming in the future.
It's a constant fire hose of information. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's always changing. There's always something new going on. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I bet. I'm glad that's why we're talking about it today. So what can you share about the origins and history of AI that you think might be helpful for our listeners to know?
Yeah, so AI, it often can feel like this is a really brand new study or field, but it's been around for a long time. Even thinking back to like World War II, Alan Turing and the Turing machine are some of the first examples of AI back in the day. And so it's been around since that time. And computer science as a study has been around for hundreds of years, even though it, again, feels like computers have only been around for, since the 40s, 50s, even the personal computer more in the 80s and 90s. The studies have been around for a long time. Here in Alberta, our provincial government made a big investment into AI and machine learning about 25 years ago, bringing some of the world's best researchers to the province to work at the University of Alberta here. And so we've been spending a lot of time in our province really building up our bench strength, our depth of knowledge around AI and machine learning. And so we're really seeing a lot of those investments and that all that hard work over the past quarter century really starting to pay off, which has been really fantastic. But like I said, it feels very new and brand new, and there are definitely always new cutting edge pieces of research coming out. And I mean, ChatGPT and generative AI has been such a big push into the nomenclature, the public perception around the world over the past 18 or so months. But the actual AI itself, that tool and those tools are built on over 100 years of work and a study and research. So it's a pretty extensive history that we have in the field, even though it feels really new and cutting edge, because it is. It's both.
Exactly. And understanding that AI has the potential to be integrated in just about every facet of business and in our lives coming in the future here, how should business leaders start thinking about AI, or how should they be thinking about AI in general?
So I think that pretty much every business should be thinking about how they can leverage AI in one way or another. So there's lots of different ways that a business can leverage AI, whether it's improving someone's personal efficiency. So for example, like I have ChatGPT open on my computer pretty much all the time. If there's little things that I need to write, or it's a good sometimes brainstorming tool, I find there's lots of different ways. So you leverage tools like that in your own individual way and role to improve your own productivity. But as a business leader, thinking about how your business can leverage AI in order to do what you do as a business better is a really important thing to be thinking about, whether you're a startup or a large multinational corporation. There's a lot of benefits to considering the types of technologies that are available out there. And I think companies that don't think about it or aren't thinking about it and aren't preparing, whether they're planning on using it today or in a couple of years, getting prepared for it so that when you want to use it, you're ready for it and you don't have to start potentially a multi-year long process of getting ready. It would be beneficial in the long run to be thinking of those things earlier rather than later, being able to prepare yourself, prepare your teams, prepare your work processes, making sure you're collecting data and the right data, you're storing it and keeping it clean in the right way. It's really going to be really important. And I think companies that don't think about this risk being left behind. And that's definitely something that, you know, that our focus is here at AIME is how can we support more companies. Our mission is AI for good and for all. So how can we support the companies that we work with, the companies in the province of Alberta here, but across Canada and even internationally, become AI companies and make the world a better place?
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of organizations starting to think about AI more and getting teams putting a lot more thought behind this and some action as well to go with that thought and strategy. I do see also some organizations are starting to feel like, well, maybe we're a little far behind or something like that, so we've got to start catching up. So when an organization is starting down the path of using AI or looking into options about how it might help their business, who should they get involved in their organization?
Oh, that's a really, yeah, I like that question. I think there's a spot for everybody in an organization to be involved. At the end of the day, like depending on the type of tool that you're wanting to build or to buy or to implement, you're going to need not only decision makers on board, because they're the ones who are going to be ultimately procuring and sourcing and paying for and approving the technology, but you also need to have the people using the technology in the room and in the consideration in that. It's really important to have a representation of the people within your company that'll be working on and using the tool. But also, if this is a tool that is making decisions potentially about people, about your customers, providing recommendations to your customers, or making decisions about humans, it's really important that you're thinking about not only your internal people, but the external people that you want to be taking into consideration as well. Who are those other stakeholders that should be considered? How are you ensuring that your training data and the people that you're bringing into the work is representative of the community around you and the community that that the product will ultimately be impacting? So I think both those are really important. But I think whether you're at an, if you're at an organization and you're interested in seeing how you can support AI within your company, I mean, we have some programs to help on that, build that AI literacy within organizations. That's a really great place to start. And just making sure that everybody has a similar, speaking the same language. There's a lot of, with any emerging technology like AI and machine learning, there can be a wide range of perception on what can it do, what can't it do, what should or shouldn't it do even. And making sure that everybody's on the same page, I think, is a really great first step and kind of dispelling some of those misconceptions around what's possible or what, you know, where is this technology going? So bringing a consistent understanding across an organization is really important. And then we often say start small. So if you're on a, like maybe you're lower in your organization and you want to try building something out, find those low hanging fruit that you can try something that isn't going to cost a lot, isn't going to be very time consuming or use a lot of resources, but might have a big impact and have a big upside to it. And start with something small and show those wins so you can start building momentum within an organization. And then that might be easier to then sell to the people higher up at your organization. But also, if you're a leader in an organization, it's still a good idea to start with those low-hanging fruit and get the buy-in of the team around you. So I think that's pretty good advice, regardless of where you're sitting in the org.
And I couldn't agree more. Building a solid foundation and getting some buy-in at the beginning, you can always pick up speed later.
Exactly, yeah.
So with AI being still a new frontier for many people and many organizations, once you've got that team assembled and you've done some of the work that you've just talked about, What are some additional things that these teams should be considering and maybe pitfalls that they should try to look out for and avoid?
Something that I've seen here is companies starting with a solution instead of starting with a problem. So we've talked to a lot of companies in the past year and a bit, and a lot of the companies, they come to us saying, how can I use ChatGPT in my business? I personally think that's the wrong question to be asking. Because what you're doing is you're starting with a solution. You're not starting with a problem that your company's facing. And so once you have the buy-in that your company wants to try something, you need to figure out what is a problem or a challenge or an opportunity area within your business that AI can help with. And then you find the right AI tool to help with that challenge or problem or opportunity. I always like to say that starting with the solution with ChatGPT is like walking to a construction site with a hammer and saying, how can I use this hammer today? You know, there might be things that you can hammer in, but if you walk up to something that needs to get screwed in, the hammer is not going to do you any good. And so you can hit that screw with the hammer and it might go in a little bit, but it's not the right tool for the job. So I think starting with the problem and then finding the right tool to work and support that problem is something some companies don't do. And when you try and force a solution, you might end up wasting a lot of time, money, resources on something that ultimately fails or isn't as effective as it could be if you chose the right tool for the job.
I really like that, starting with the problem first and then finding the right solution for it, since there's a lot of different ways to approach this.
Yeah, and there's a lot more to AI than just generative AI. Generative AI is really cool. It is a very small percentage of the overall AI ecosystem. And there's a lot more that AI can do than just generate text or images. And so if that's something that would be beneficial for your team, then, you know, by all means, if that's the right tool for the job, use it. But if you need something to analyze a document or to detect an event taking place or to provide a recommendation based on my previous purchase history, I don't think generative AI is the right tool for those types of jobs.
Sure. No, that's great. I appreciate the perspective. Building on that a little bit, organizations will typically maybe realize, okay, we've got some expertise in-house and we have some people who want to lead this initiative for, you know, either a multinational or if it's a startup. But many organizations are going to look to have a partner of some sort and really get some expertise, kind of buy that up front, make sure that they are making a prudent investment and also the right investment going forward. What should leaders be looking for in an AI partner?
When you're looking for a partner, ensuring that they have experience in the area that you're needing support in is really big. And kind of what is their credibility? What is their perception in the ecosystem? Like asking around, seeing if there's people that you know that have worked with them before and see how that has worked. That's something that we really pride ourselves on. So we're an AI institute. We fund fundamental research in AI, and we've been working in that area for, like I said earlier, over 20 years. And we also now are supporting industry adoption. So we work directly with industry clients to support them on that. Because like you said, if you've never done this before, it can be really challenging to even know where to start, because AI and machine learning is not the same as your traditional software development. So even if you have incredibly talented front end, back end devs, you know, full teams that have been doing this for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, they might not have experience in the types of tools and the workflows and processes that is needed for AI. And so that's where we come in. We can come in and we can help you identify areas within your business where AI can be applied. We can help you scope out a problem to build that roadmap on what different tools and what different processes you should do in order to build that solution out. And then we can also come and bring talent onto your team, so we can go source the right person for the job and then have them build out the solution for you. And that's something that we see a lot of clients really coming to us for, is that build out phase. Because if they've never done AI before, they don't know where to recruit the right talent. They don't know how to evaluate the talent in the interview process to know if they're the right person for the job. Once they're hired, they don't know how to train them or coach them or support them. They don't know how to validate that the work they're doing is any good. And those people often, if you make a first AI hire, they can often be an island within an organization that is disconnected from the rest of the organization because they have such a different skill set and they're working on a project that is often, you know, brand new for the company, maybe more on the research side for the R&D side for the company, and they can be really separate from the rest of the team. And so we try and reduce those risks as much as possible by taking on the risk of hiring. We have experience hiring hundreds of, you know, AI and ML professionals. So we have experience hiring. We have experience training and coaching and supporting and validating work and all of that. So we take all that risk on. We support them through that whole process, both the intern or resident and the company. And then at the end, in a best case scenario, the company hires that person on full time after, because they've worked with that individual for 4, 8, 12, 16 months. And now they've built that relationship. They know how that person works and they built that trust with them. So I think those are looking for those types of things, whether you're coming to work with us or with somebody else's. What is their experience? What is the perception of them and from people that have worked with them in the past? What are the different tools and processes that they can support you on that as well? I think those things are really important. A couple other things that I think are really important is what happens to your IP. Like IP is very valuable when it comes to AI machine learning. And how does that fit within the model that your partner is looking at? Is this something where you would co-own IP? Would you maintain the IP after? Would your partner own the IP and now you're licensing it from them? Like, what does that process look like? Who owns the data? Who owns the IP? In addition, those are things to be thinking about.
Those are some really great things to be thinking about. And I hope our listeners take advantage of that thought process, especially when it comes to hiring.
Yeah, and it's a challenge, especially in a field. Like some of these jobs, they didn't exist 5 years ago. So like, it's not like someone can have 20 years of experience in these fields because the role simply didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And touching on something that you just mentioned, our conversation here, we've been talking about people essentially being all on board with AI and they want to get involved. I'd like to recognize that there are some people and organizations out there that have some fear maybe about AI, and IP I know is a huge concern. I hear that quite a bit lately. So what would you say to people and leaders in particular who are maybe a little fearful of AI and not quite sure and still standing on the dock?
So how we think about AI here is AI is a tool, and like any tool, it can be used for good and for bad. And it's about how you leverage that tool to do good for society, for humanity, for the world. Like I mentioned earlier, our mission here is AI for good and for all. So when we take that very seriously. We take that seriously through our contracting phase. We take that through all of the work we do with our clients. We take that seriously through the whole process. And so I think that that's something that companies should be thinking about. I think it's very important. So what is your stance when it comes to AI ethics? How are you thinking about data fairness and bias? How are you thinking about what is the impact that your model will have on people? Taking these types of things into consideration for companies is very important. And it's something that we bake into everything that we do here. And I think it's something that every company should be thinking about and should be taking very seriously. Going back to the hammer example earlier, like a hammer itself is a tool. You can use a hammer to hit in a nail. You can also use a hammer to break somebody's leg, right? Like, it's not the hammer that is the good or the bad. The hammer is just a tool. And so it's about making sure that you're using tools in the right way, that you know what's going into, what data is going into a system. And is that data biased? Is it fair? How is it collected? How is it manipulated before it's fed into the system? And then what are the actions, decisions that are being made based on the answer or the information given to you by the system? Those are the things that are really important. I mean, we have an AI ethics workshop that we offer to the public as well. So if anybody's interested in learning more about AI ethics, it's a two-part workshop. Part one is about AI governance. Part two is about deployment and how do you ensure an ethical deployment of your AI system. So it's definitely something that I can appreciate people's hesitation around, but I think it's something that we can manage and we can work through. And if you think it through and you're careful and deliberate with the way that you're building out your system and managing your system once it's deployed and governing that system, it's definitely something that can be managed in a safe and effective way.
Yeah, I wish everybody had your mindset and thought about this in the same way of, you know, really leveraging a tool for good and being cognizant of that from the get-go. Well, before we wrap up this episode, what final advice or thoughts would you like to share with our audience?
Yeah, so I think a couple of big opportunities. So I know your audience is business leaders, and people potentially listening to this episode are interested in AI and machine learning. We have a big AI conference that we host here in Edmonton, Alberta, at the end of May. So May 21st to the 24th, it's called Upper Bound. Tickets right now are on sale, so you can get a ticket. It's a four-day event. It's a really great mix of both academic conference and industry conference. So whether we have a whole track on startups and on venture capital as it comes to AI, and then we have tracks both academic and industry on a variety of topics. I think there's over 20 different tracks. So that'd be a really great opportunity to come and experience what a big AI conference is like, and especially one that has both that academic and industry focus. And something for executives that are listening is, as a part of that, we have an executive AI summit that is a part of Upper Bound. And so if you are accepted into that executive AI summit, it's an application-based intake, but participants get not only our machine learning foundations for executives workshop and leading up to the conference, but then a curated experience at the conference as well. And that's led out by one of our board members and our CEO here at AIME. So really high level, very experienced individuals leading out both the foundations workshop ahead of time and that summit at the conference. So I think those are two really big things that are available. If you're a startup out there and you want to see how AI can be applied to your business, you can check out our website, aimee.ca, AMII.ca. We have always open intake for our machine learning exploration workshop. That's for startups that want to see how AI can be applied to their business. So happy to chat with anybody, and just really excited to be here. It was a really great conversation. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you are welcome. And I really appreciate all the thoughts and great learning opportunities coming up. We'll get those in the show notes for everybody, as well as your contact information if people want to learn more. In closing, I'd like to take a moment and thank our listeners. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward on your leadership journey. Please check back regularly for additional episodes.